Yeah, just send me an email.
Okay, great.
I'll bring it.
I mean, we have four people
so we'll have
who are recommending him, including your sub GP, from the council, other staff, or.
Sorry, did we get a second on the motion to?
I second.
Okay, so Elaine and Gwen, everybody.
So we'll have two interviews in October, yeah?
Yeah.
It's nice he's part of
NTEP
CSF as well, so that
can
help with
information
stuff.
All right, if everyone hands those back in, we'll reuse them next month. Thank you.
And for the exit interview, did we hand those back in while I wasn't looking, or are those?
No, those are just, those can get recycled. There's no personal information there.
Oh,
good. Thank you.
That's a good system.
And next is the MINR program. I'm actually kind of confused on
that. That's just boilerplate. There's nothing there to be
discussed. Do we
have any mental teams?
No, but I'm on my list of things to do is to check in with our new newly appointed council members to discuss the mentorship program, which we sort of covered in pre-interview stuff. And then we also are scheduling orientation for them and potentially Richard and Trevon in December. So I believe that will be Nay, Alexandria, Antoine, Lily, Trevon, and Richard if all goes according to plan. Although we may not get Alexandria for that. We may end up just sending her our materials and letting her digest them on her own time.
The mentor program is voluntary, right?
It is voluntary. But generally how that goes is we ask any of the new council members, and really it's open to any council member, they don't necessarily have to be new, but I think we presume that people who are not brand new have already assessed their own capacity and whether they need a mentor or not, and discuss with them whether they feel like they would like a mentor. We encourage them to attend a variety of meetings, especially during that period before they've been approved by the mayor's office, to get a sense of what the committees are and what sort of business they cover, and also to get a sense of the personalities on the council, figure out who they maybe have an affinity for. And sometimes they just sort of develop very naturally within personal exchange and meetings. If that doesn't sort of happen organically, then we might reach out to specific council members who have suggested that they might be interested in mentoring.
Do we have a list of the current mentors?
No, it's not a thing we don't necessarily keep that as a, because sometimes they honestly just sort of fade out as they are needed less. There's no sort of formal ending of a mentorship generally. I don't know that if there's any that are currently even ongoing. I think maybe all the people who had mentors may have moved beyond that at this point. I think maybe, I mean, Dominique was still sort of meeting periodically with Eric Sutter, and Oren was maybe periodically checking in with Paul Harkin, but I don't think either of those
were
anything
right
now.
Linda and Nay were working together.
Who?
Linda and Nay.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So we'll have to talk to Nay about if he'd like to be matched with somebody after, since Linda's. Are you pointing to yourself?
He actually approached me.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Do you say that?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be, we don't even have to know about it,
it's not a secret.
doesn't have to be, all I'm saying is it's not always the thing that needs to be super official and overseen, unless there's issues. And then if there's issues, then you can come to us and we'll seek to sort them out.
Cool. I'm just curious. Dominique said it was all right for me. I guess everybody knows she had a stroke and she was in the hospital for a while and she's home now. But has anyone went to see her? Do we have an outreach team, people go see people who are in dire straits, or if I'm using the right word, someone that has had a stroke that can't get here, to keep them in the loop, you know?
Eric's reached out to her. And we have done our best to sort of stay connected with her as well. And her care navigators at Shanti are also, you know, people that we know pretty closely. So I periodically will check in with them to just sort of see what's going on.
Because I went to the hospital visit a couple times, and I went to her building and saw her. And she's expressed she still wants to be on the council, but, you know, right now she's having a rough time.
Yeah, and we're just giving her, you know, sort of ongoing excused absences for the time being.
Okay.
Would she welcome that?
I'm sure, yes, because she came and met me twice in her building in her lobby. She wanted to come downstairs and be, you know, with people and stuff. But she, I'm pretty sure I could speak for her. She wants to stay involved.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep her mind motivated and stuff.
I mean, I'd be willing to meet her in her lobby. So if you want to give her my information and have her reach out, that would be great.
I will. You give it to me fondly.
Okay, for sure. It does. I do have a bigger question kind of related to a similar topic, but are we, is there anything else on this kind of... I just, so sometimes, like, I didn't know she had a stroke, so, and there's this odd balance of not sharing people's health information with everybody. This isn't the case. It sounds like you got her permission.
Yeah, she said it was all right. I mean, realistically, if I look at it like this, if I have a stroke or something, you could tell anybody. I mean, they could tell anyone. Because I look at it like this. I have a girlfriend, Patty Navarro. She's at the Jewish Rehabilitation Center, Silver and Mission. And she had a devastating stroke 2 years ago. And out of all her sisters and people who she's helped in the community, for 2 years, I've been the only one going there helping her.
Wow.
And I put word out, and, you know, people say they're too busy, and But anyone could have a stroke. So I let them know that. I say, that could be you. So
to your concern, if we are made aware of somebody who has a serious illness, which occasionally happens, people will reach out to us to let us know they're not going to be attending meetings for a little while. We don't make it public unless they've asked us to.
That's kind of where I was.
Right. But Dominic said it was all right.
So that was sort of understood with Dominique, and we had already reached out to her before we had a conversation here. So, as far as staff policies,
and I get both sides. Part of me is like, oh, I'd love to know just so we can respond and be supportive, and at the same time, I want to respect that person's privacy. So, I don't know how to get around both of those tensions, like moving forward, because even people around this table have had some health issues, and I'm like, oh, I wish I'd known a little bit sooner. I could have stepped up a little bit more. So I don't know if there is a solution. I'm just putting it out there into the space if people have an idea.
This is not a solution, but it's just a prohibitive restriction. Those of us from DPH cannot. Almost definitely, especially if it's a DPH.
Can't share the information.
Yeah, especially if it's a DPH service they're engaged with, even if that's not why we know about it. And then Shanti, as contractors, falls under similar rules. So,
totally.
Yeah, some of us will be secretive in odd times.
If
we can go visit, though, apartment.
Yeah, because I was thinking about Ken, who's out, people are out on leave. Yeah, I was thinking about today, but like, I would like to give him a card, send a card to them, you know, if I can't go visit, just to say that we're thinking about them. But
is that something?
So if any council member would like to reach to anybody that are sick, you can actually give the card to the staff, and the staff will mail it for you
guys.
Okay,
cool. Okay, thank you.
I mean, you can also there's also nothing saying that you can't do something as an individual on your own. It doesn't necessarily have to go through us. If a group of you want to do a thing, that's totally fine. If you are aware of things, oftentimes because you guys are part of this, you know, a community that we maybe are not, like we're not necessarily engaging with you guys socially, and I know that there are council members who do sort of engage socially. And you may know things that we don't know. Nothing says you cannot sort of do that on your own. If you do want to do something through us, generally the process would be we would contact them and say, is this something you would welcome? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I think we just often don't know. So that's the really, like, there's the one logistic of just knowing the information, and there's the other logistic
so
of
maybe
trying
we
to
should say that the entire committee of the structure of the council, because people would like to know. But the staff can share that to all the committees if you would like to send a letter or someone. The staff is willing and will mail it for you. They cannot give you the address, or but you do have council members' roster, and you can either call them or whatever to reach out.
That's true. Thank you. Sorry to... I've been curious about that.
Do we know the percentage of people living with HIV AIDS on the council? Are we below that? Are we under that? Or?
We are low on non-aligned, but I think for actual people who are HIV positive, we are, I think, at our number. We're very close.
45%.
We're supposed to be at
50. But the unaligned, we are low.
So... Yeah, so I think we are supposed to be at 50% HIV positive, whether they are aligned or non-aligned, and we are nearish that. But as far as non-aligned, we're actually significantly lower than we should be. And that is not it has less to do with losses of people, but more of addition of aligned or non-HIV negative people. So... It's just a balance, trying to maintain balance. I don't think it should be seen as sort of a failure or a, you know, again, we have lost a couple people who are HIV positive, non-aligned consumers, but in general, I think it's largely to do with adding other representation. And we're just working to maintain that balance.
Two things that, since this is the membership committee, in the past, historically, when prioritization and allocation comes, we normally don't accept new members because of their understanding of the Ryan White care and stuff like that. Does the membership, because we are a new council, we don't have to follow historically, but question has arisen that in the past we don't accept during prioritization allocation for new membership. Does the membership committee has anything to say about that?
So that was a care council policy. That was never sort of formalized or codified under the merged council. That is not in policy procedures, and it was not put into any of the policies around membership. So it's not a thing we've done over the past, I don't know, what are we going on, year four now?
At least three.
It's not a thing that we've, that has necessarily been a concern. Although, you know, sometimes, you know, often what that looks like is that people who are brought on, so the policy previous in the care council was that we didn't bring on new council members after July. How it has generally worked in the past few years is that if you were brought on after July, you probably weren't approved by the mayor's office yet anyway, so you weren't going to get a vote. So you were basically a spectator for the summit. This did come up at the last committee, and we are alert to it. The only person who I think we have any sort of concern about what their comprehension level is or information level for the summit is probably May. Everyone else who is an approved has a mayoral approval, who is a newer member, has a significant amount of experience, including Michelle, and have gone through the orientation process and understand. Nay is the only one who has not gone through orientation and does not have previous experience on the council. So we are reaching out to Nay to sort of make sure that he feels like prepared informationally for the
summit. Actually, that's not my question. My question was, does the membership committee would like to approve new members for prioritization or before allocation?
Do you want to cut off bringing on new members in the preceding
do
months.
Do we want to adopt the old policy?
What we used to do is actually have them come because it's an experience, right?
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have a vote.
Yeah.
And that's what we used to do with all the folks before the mayor actually appointed them until like they were taking forever to write those letters.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So there is no new. There's new. There's now. There's old policy on the ERCOT, but we don't have that new policy on the merge on the new council. So this is a new council. Are we? This is for a discussion, not today. For it's going to go on to every committee because I intend to bring it on. But it would be a discussion for next month. Are we willing to have a new policy? Or adopt on a policy that will not
or not have one.
Not or not have one for new members on prioritization allocation.
Well, I want to say if someone is interested in coming on to the council and something like that, we can't interview you or we can't talk to you until after something, that they might lose interest. And I don't know if we're at a point that we could stand to not to have someone interested then lose interest because of a rule or something.
I mean, we could say if we do take them on after July, we simply say whether even if they got the mayor's approval, they should not be voting the summit.
But in that situation, somebody like Michelle wouldn't necessarily get a vote at the summit, although she has plenty of experience to be competent to vote at the summit.
I think it takes so long just to get the mayor's approval.
Right.
That's another factor.
Can we speed that up?
No.
They follow
you're
up a lot. Like at least every month.
It's actually sped up significantly recently. Then I think there was just a under the current mayor. It was just there was a catching up period.
Yeah, when there was a check. So just. Charles, I appreciate the question because I know I came on last year at the beginning, just before the summit, and the summit was confusing to me. So, and I felt very nervous about voting on stuff that was going to impact people's health in a significant way. So just that lens of the combination of somebody coming on too soon and just not having enough knowledge to vote in a way that either they themselves feel comfortable with regards. So I abstained last year to kind of get around that. So just to give that lens to it. And I also do want to acknowledge the prevention component. There's a lot of voting that happens with prevention money, though, does come in less cyclical. Like it doesn't happen once a year at the exact same month. So just to acknowledge that that is a piece of this conversation. So, that makes it more complicated. But I feel like there's a little of an obligation not putting somebody in a spot where they're gonna feel stressed about voting on something that they're not really clear about. So,
sure. I mean, and I think that in that situation, people should understand that they do have the option to abstain from the vote. If they do not feel competent or comfortable making that vote.
And maybe it should be on an individual basis, like Michelle coming in, she understands. I would hate for her not to be able to vote. By the same token, what Thomas said, I would hate for him to feel pressured that he has to vote on something that
right.
he doesn't understand. So
yeah.
maybe there could be
does
some counseling.
Does somebody have a conversation with you ahead of time about the possibility of abstaining if you didn't quite understand everything? Or did you kind of just go?
I am a little curious from you all. Like, I feel like when I abstain, it's always a little bit of a coward's way out, for lack of a better word. And I don't know how other people feel about when they hear somebody abstain from a vote. But that's how I personally feel when I, and that might be my own shit, right? But, so.
Like my brother, when he coached me along with it, I told him, is it, because you kind of feel embarrassed, like, coward,
thank
right?
you.
And I told my brother, like, I feel afraid that I don't want to vote for that just because. And he's like, you get to do whatever you want. And if anybody wants to look at you strangely, let that be on them. But this is because you're you're learning and you're getting to know, it's okay not to vote because you're not sure of the topic of the situation.
I think the situation is very different than just kind of an anyday situation.
Right.
I think it depends
on
when you abstain in terms of how people might see it. But this one is very specific to somebody being really new to the information and to the environment. Again, definitely would hate to not have them come in because it's actually an experience and it's actually good to have that under your belt before the next time.
Yeah.
At the same time, to have a conversation with them, just specifically know, since this information and this process is really new to you, there's this option in case they didn't realize how abstaining works. There's this option, and if you feel uncomfortable with this vote, you can do this. And if you're if you want to, you're welcome to say why you're abstaining.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so two things. Sorry if I can, I don't know if there was anyone else. But I agree, and that's definitely a thing that we should put out there for all of our new members, all four of the new members who have been approved. Shall just consider this your me telling you that you can abstain right now. And yes, I agree that you know, and it's always, we're always looking to fine tune our sort of support and training and sort of information sharing for council members and what thing when things come up. Sometimes we're playing catch up and that's never a good feeling. But well, hopefully that won't be an issue. Sorry, you had that experience last year. I mean. And I think for you, oftentimes, is it about is it you are not understanding the information, or is it feeling like you have a conflict, or as a member of government?
A little bit of A, B, and C.
Because
sometimes I'm not quite clear when funding issues come down whether or not, since I am government, like it's appropriate to vote or not vote.
It's always appropriate
that seat,
because your members of government do not have conflict innately. But you can make that choice. You can decide on your own personal vote, but from a legal perspective, you do not have conflict of interest. That's just, it is what it is. But you can still abstain if you choose to. The other thing is, I think that the last thing is, I would say making policy decisions on an individual basis is a slippery slope. That puts a sort of judgment on those individuals. I think if we're going to do it, it should be sort of across the board.
I also don't want to assume what people know or don't know, especially if they're new and I don't know their background.
Yeah.
I mean, just because they've not been at the table doesn't mean that they haven't read or haven't been exposed to a lot of our issues.
Could have been at the table a long time and have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Any further discussion?
My second question is coming up with each individual member has a voting rights, which is one representation, one vote. So when we merge government, there was two people with one vote, half and half. Should that be open up to discussion again? Meaning, I'm going to use an example. Dean and Thomas has half a vote each. When we merged, we said, this is going to be going on for 2 years. We are on a third year as a new council. Why not give them each a vote? That's going to be discussed in every committee. And this is the membership, and I think it should be coming here first.
Mm-hmm. So that's for those of you who are part of the merge work group. I don't know who might have been part of that group.
I remember part of it, but I don't remember that.
We were there. That was. If memory serves, and this is again a few years ago. But that was like 4 years ago.
That was a compromise between proxy and membership.
Yeah, and so that's actually something that's in bylaws. At the most base level when we were talking about how many co-chairs we are going to have and what that representation was going to look like on co-chairs. That's why we have sort of one person of color, one woman, you know, HIV positive co-chair and members of government, or would we have members of government at all? And so that was a big conversation, because prevention did have members of government as co-chairs, and CARE did not. And the compromise was that we would have one rep from CHEP and one rep from HHS, and they would share a vote to sort of, you know, have some balance between the two historical policies. So I think that it is, it's not just a membership issue. It is a like full council issue that I think that if you choose to pursue that, would be a thing that would really have to go through all of the council, and we would have to revamp policies and procedures and bylaws and things.
But my thing is that you have individual had representation from their expertise, and me as a person living with HIV AIDS, I have a proxy and I have a vote. It's not fair for that one person individual, whoever it is, not to have a single vote, than to have half a vote. If you're talking about equity and equality, it should be a standard on everyone, not only people living with HIV and AIDS.
I think part of the conversation that informed that was that there was a desire to have five co-chairs, as you know, it was felt that an odd number was a more effective number for voting purposes. And if we had two, and we had to have, you know, the other demographics covered, and then we also wanted reps from both sides, from prevention and care, then, you know, were we looking at, you know, six co-chairs? And again, the compromise was a shared vote. And I think it was also all these recordings and minutes are online. You can go back and look at them.
But did say on that meeting that we would look at it for 2 years, if I remember right, because I was in every single meeting there is, that we would look at for 2 years and review it the third year.
I think we said that about every single policy we passed. So you should consider everything part of that. Is, you know.
This is a new council, and I understand historically, and I do understand, but still, I'm still going for equity and equality. If you want to be correct, standing correct with the pronouns he, she, and him, her, and they, and whatever. It should be standard that equity.
I think the balance is partly not just the individual members or representatives, but I think there was a concern about having too much government control between some of the government appointed seats, or, you know, there's some required government seats. And so I think part of the balance isn't just the individuals, it's also the number of voting members within the government, even though things have been going very well for at least a long time. I don't know how long, maybe the whole time. I think some people are nervous about the balance shifting at all, not just the individuals. And I think the government co-chairs, at least the ones that I am aware of currently, understand that and don't feel particularly slighted in any way, but it is still an important question for moving forward.
I'm remembering the conversation too, because CARE never had that many government seats, and when we did the merger, there was quite a few, and it was a very big concern because we were still in discussion about the number of folks that were actually consumers versus the folks that were actually government or business. And that's still an ongoing concern. So I think I remember now why that conversation happened. But I think it also kind of behooves us to like ask you guys, do you feel like you're missing out or feel like you're unequal in the voice? I mean, you obviously talk when you need to talk. well, you know what I mean. But do you feel like there is a problem with the way that your voice is being represented with your votes?
Do you like Tasman?
I didn't say that.
Half a person.
How do you really care?
Well, that's that.
If you vote yes and Dean vote no, what?
No.
I mean,
no.
Then they abstain as a duo. If the members, if the government co-chairs can't come to an agreement during a vote, then they abstain as a duo. That was sort of baked into the cake, and that was part of
it. And that defeats the purpose for people living with HIV and AIDS, I'm sorry to say.
Well, it's up to you guys to decide if you would like to make a motion to have this be a conversation that carries through the rest of the committees or not. The summit is agenda is fairly packed, so it's unlikely to get put on the agenda there, but maybe next month.
I'm not saying it will be discussed before the summit. I'm saying for you guys to think about it, because an individual person has that right.
Those affected should.
Can I propose that we go back and research the conversations that we had that led up to that decision, and then open that up for another discussion next time we meet?
Sure. So we'll go back and
October, November.
Do our best to pull the minutes. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think the minutes are probably not going to reflect the full depth of what that conversation was, just because that is what we found to be most effective minutes wise. Generally, the spirit rather than the detail. But if you really want to get into what were the different arguments, we'd kind of have to listen to the recording. But we can definitely pull up the minutes and bring them next month.
Well, Charles, is that acceptable?
I mean, I don't want to discredit the whole idea and the conversation. I just want to get more information.
For sure. I think that having the context of the conversation at the merge, during the merge work group is important, if you really wanted to continue with this dialogue.
So that will be brought up in October meeting. Any other ideas, suggestions, topics? Now, for our October meeting, it is scheduled for October 10th, here in this building from 3 to 5. Is that agreeable?
Mm-hmm. We don't know what you want.
So, by acclamation,
please. And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, guys.